From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. We have a great show, as always, in store for you all. I'll be talking with professional boxer Seth Mitchell about his latest fight against Chris Areola that took place earlier this month. We will also talk Tigers. Yes, the Detroit Tigers, baby. They clinched the AL Central last night. We're asking all of you out there to weigh in on the Tigers, bid in the postseason now. How far do you think the Tigers will get this year? 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. Give us your thoughts on how far you think the Tigers will get in this year's postseason. And don't forget that it's Thursday, and you know what that means. Current Sports TV airs tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. I sit down with Holt High School football coach Al Slammer. Now, somebody didn't realize... It's not on 23. I thought it was on 23, but I checked my local listings. It's 23 on my TV, but it varies from where you are. Some of you get it on Channel 4. Some of you get it on 20.1 for those of you on campus. Just find it and tune in, all right, people? And thanks to all of you out there for the constant support. We really appreciate you tuning in to Current Sports Radio every weekday and Current Sports TV every Thursday at 10 p.m. All right, well, let's dive into our guest for today. Let's welcome him. He is a professional boxer in the heavyweight division. He was actually a former MSU football middle linebacker before injuring his knee. He has a professional boxing record of 26 wins, 19 of those knockouts, 2 losses and 1 draw. Seth Mitchell, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Seth?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Great to have you on, man. Now, first, I got to ask you, how in the world did you get involved in the sport of boxing after, you know, being a former football player here at MSU?
It wasn't something that I thought about doing from early in life. I just was circulating my resume, and I saw a former college collegiate athlete, Tom Zivkowski, at the time. He was an athlete the same time I was. I saw him have success in a boxing match, and that just sparked my interest. And once I saw that, I said, I'm going to give boxing a try.
Now, Seth, when you decided to give boxing a try, was it hard at first making that transition from football to, you know, learning an entirely different sport such as boxing?
It definitely was. It's definitely, you're going from a team sport to a individual sport, but just the nuances of boxing, it's definitely harder. You got to learn to relax. And, you know, I've only been at boxing for about 7.5 years, six and a half years professionally. So I'm still learning on the job as we speak, but it is definitely a tough transition. But I think I'm doing a fairly good job at it thus far.
Definitely. Now, I understand, Seth, let's go back in time for a second. I understand that growing up back in, I believe, Virginia Beach, right?
So we're born in Virginia Beach, been in Maryland since I was 11 years old, but I was born in Virginia Beach.
Right. Now, I heard you earn the nickname, quote, Little Superstar. How did that nickname come about?
It came about, you know, playing football and basketball, not on organized teams, but just pick up games around the neighborhood. All of the older guys would always pick me first, and, you know, because I was pretty good. You know, I could run fast. I was just very athletic and seem to always make the play, so even the older guys would pick me first on their team, and they just called me Little Superstar.
When did Little Superstar turn into mayhem?
I decided to box.
There you go. That's when it started right there, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with pro boxer Seth Mitchell. Of course, he's a former MSU football player. For you, Seth, when you started boxing, how did you get signed to Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions?
It was a package sent out to Golden Boy, and it's still a little mystery to me, because I know they get, you know, numerous packages and CDs and things of that nature sent to them all the time, and why they decided to open mine up, you know, who knows. But a package was sent to them of interest, and then they saw the resume and saw some of my fights, and then they got in contact with Shelly Finkel, who was a big fish in boxing, and he got a hold of me. He got a hold of me and wanted to see some more tape. And once he saw it, you know, I just got signed with Golden. I didn't understand how big of a deal it was to get signed with Golden Boy at such a short in boxing. You know, being 25 years old and only fighting for a year, amateur fights, it was a big deal.
Right, without a doubt. Now, so that's how that works. So when it comes to these promotional aspects in the game of boxing, so tapes are sent to these promoters, and they look at your tape and then decide if they want to sign you or not? Is that how it works with every boxer?
Oh, no. I can only speak for myself. I don't know how it works with anybody, and there's a lot of things that I'm still learning as far as the promotional aspect and the fight game in itself, but that's just, you know, how I got signed with them.
Right, exactly. Have you talked to Oscar at all? Have you met him?
I've met him before. We actually went on the USO tour together when I went to Kuwait and Iraq. I went with him for a week over there. I believe that was like March of 2011. And, I talk to him every now and then when I see him out on the West Coast at the fights.
How cool was that, getting to meet a boxing legend such as Oscar?
It's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool to see somebody and know to see that they're down to earth. And, you know, not stuck up or anything. And it's just cool. I'm not really a starstruck person, but it's pretty cool. Good to see, you know, individuals like that.
Now, Seth, I got to ask, because before the Floyd Mayweather and Canelo Saul Alvarez fight that took place a few weeks ago, it was reported that Oscar is sort of battling some alcohol problems. Do you know how he's doing right now at all?
Don't know how he's doing right now. I heard it. Surprised me, and I heard it just like you heard it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, Seth, let's dive into your fight earlier this month against Chris Areola. Now, you're just coming off just a second loss on your record, losing the WBC International Heavyweight title to Chris Areola in a round one knockout. What happened in that fight, Seth?
You know, you got caught with heavyweight division, it only takes one punch. You know, got caught with a shot that I didn't see coming, and it's very frustrating because, you know, I put in a lot of hard work. You know, it was a good, you know, 7 weeks training camp for the fight. I felt mentally and physically, you know, I was prepared, and that's the nature, you know, of the business. You can train, and then, you know, a fight can last 12 rounds or can last one round. It was very disheartening, very disappointing, but mentally, physically, you know, I was fine right after the fight. But it was a tough fight to, you know, mentally, you know, just shake off. So it was really frustrating fight for me.
Seth, specifically when looking at that fight and what Chris did in that first round, what specifically did he surprise you on or catch you off guard with anything that you weren't expecting? What specifically, looking at the dynamic of that fight?
That's the frustrating thing about it, because going back and when I looked at the fight, the very first shot that I got, you know, hit with, it's shots that we practice over and over again, you know, in the ring. You know, Chris Areola, one of the things that he does is he throws his right hand, and he lunges forward a little bit with his right hand, and we worked on that. And I've saw that shot numerous times with my trainer. But, you know, hell, it's different once you get into the ring, and I just didn't take care of business, and it was, this is very unfortunate, because when you get put in situations like that, big situations like that, you have to take advantage of those situations, and, you know, I didn't take advantage of it.
So for you, Seth, now, coming off a loss like this, and I love talking to boxers about this, because, you know, in boxing, it's not like a sport like, you know, football or basketball, where, you know, you got 82 games left in the season or 17 games left in the season to kind of salvage things. A loss in boxing can be devastating, or it can be a rallying point for that boxer. How are you dealing with this loss, and how are you shaking it off? What went through your head when you just had time to sit back and process it?
How much of a setback that this fight caused me. You know, it's one thing. You never want to lose as a boxer. Obviously, you always want to win, knowing that anytime you step in the ring, there can you can lose a fight. But when you're on, it's one thing to lose. Like, say you've already been a champion, you've already made your mark, and you put on up a good fight and you lost. Obviously, that's devastating as well. But it's a different feeling, and it's a different just mindset when you're climbing the ladder. When you're on your way up, you know, you're at the contender level. You know, you haven't been a champion yet. You're at the contender level, and you take a loss, and that's why I was at. You know, coming losing my fight to Jonathan Banks, then coming back rematch him and winning. You know, I told people a loss to Chris Ariola would have, you know, the win against Jonathan Banks didn't mean nothing. So it was just frustrating because I know it's a big setback. You know, now, you know, basically I have to look at, okay, 2014 is a rebuilding year for me, you know, so I'm probably not going to be on TV for a few more fights, and I got to work my way back up. And that's the toughest thing is, you know, starting that grind all over again. Not saying I'm at the, you know, or at the bottom, but, you know, I'm definitely not at the top like I was.
Right, exactly. So if you could rewind time, what would you have done different to prepare or, you know, stepping in that ring to fight Chris? What would you have done differently, Seth?
One thing, you know, that's a hard question to answer because I don't underestimate anybody. Mm-hmm. I train, I'm always in great shape, and I feel that we had a great game plan. You know, Chris Ariola has lost three fights, and the three fights he lost, the his opponents have basically used the same recipe. And that's what we went in there, you know, trying to implement. But obviously, you know, it didn't take place because the fight only went one round. So you know, that's a tough question to answer.
What was that recipe for fighters in the past to beat Chris?
Stay off the ropes, use your jab, and have a little bit of movement.
Gotcha.
Got to stay off the ropes against Chris Ariola. Watch out for he has a good right hand, but the jab, stand off the ropes and use a little bit and use movement. Not run, but definitely give angles, use movement, stay off the ropes.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us to Current Sports, I'm talking with Seth Mitchell, professional boxer in the heavyweight division. Of course, former football player here in the land of Sparty. Now, Seth, what's next for you? Is there a rematch, you know, in talks maybe in the future? Or what's next for you now as a boxer?
I've always, hopefully I can, you know, avenge that loss. It won't be an immediate rematch. And obviously I have to, you know, do some things, because one thing about me, I know sports, and I keep it 100. I keep it real. My reputation is tarnished a little bit, so I have to rebuild that. So I have to do what I have to do in the next, you know, 3 or 4 fights just to get back to the level that I was at. And once I do that, then, you know, we can start talking about some of the bigger names. But that fight was definitely a setback for me, and you know, I'm up for the challenge, but I have to go back to the drawing board. And I'm changing up a few things, you know, work on my defense a lot more. You know, I mean, that's just what it is.
Right. Are there any names being thrown around right now for your next fight or no? It's too early.
Right now, man, I have, like, I'm going back to the gym just to shake out a little bit. You know, next week I've just been, you know, actually y'all are my first interview since my fight. You know, because
right.
I just want to, you know, doing the interviews, and I'm going to get back into the gym next week. I've just been relaxing and thinking a lot on the last 3 weeks.
Right. That's great. Well, definitely appreciate you being on the show. And I got to tell you, you know Earl Robinson, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, he says hi. I'm his successor here at WKRI, as we talked on the phone previously about that, Seth. So he says hi to you. He watched the fight. And, you know, something interesting about that fight, too. Seth, you came out, you were rocking the Spartan football shirt. I think you had on, what was it, black and green trunks, I think, if I recall. You're definitely a Spartan through and through. And I got to ask you, have you been keeping up with this year's MSU football team at all?
I've watched the games. Unfortunately, we lost last week. But I've definitely been keeping up with them, always checking on their schedule and checking the record. But I believe I've seen two out of three games this year.
Gotcha. I got to ask you, Seth, because, you know, right now, you probably know, there's still, you know, it was a lot of this quarterback controversy that they entered the season with, wondering who was going to be the starting quarterback. The defense looks superb, as it does each and every year. From what you've seen, what are your impressions of this team right now?
I think, like you said, I think our defense is definitely our strong point, and offense just got to get clicking. Right now, we just seem like we have a game managing, you know, quarterback, a game managing, you know, offense, no big plays, just, you know, methodically just moving the ball down the field. But, you know, we just got to get it together on the offensive end and hopefully our defense. But sometimes that's what you have. That's the personnel that you have. And so you have to kind of lean on the strong points, and that's our defense right now. But so as long as our defense continues to keep the game close, you're always going to have a chance to win, and hopefully we can just put some more points on the board.
Seth, do you think Connor Cook is the guy, the right man behind center?
I think so.
Gotcha. All right, well, only time will tell how this season pans out. Of course, MSU has a bye week before they really get into the meat of the Big Ten play next week after that. Hey, Seth, thanks a lot for joining me on Current Sports. Appreciate your time. We got to have you on soon again.
Thank you, brother. Go green.
Go white. All right, there you have it. Seth Mitchell, of course, pro boxer in the heavyweight division, just coming off a loss to Chris Areola. Seth is trying to just shake it off and you know, move on to the next fight. Well, when we return to Current Sports, we haven't even gotten to our headlines for today. Of course, the Tigers, they have clinched the AL Central, ladies and gents. Yes, the champagne was flowing in the Tigers clubhouse yesterday, and we're definitely going to talk about it. Of course, we have a lot of other things to talk about, but we're posing a question to you all. How far do you think the Detroit Tigers will go this postseason? Give us a call. That's right, I'm talking to you right now. 517-355-9527. How far will the Tigers go? 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports is coming right back.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, we'll take your questions about the new healthcare exchanges under Obamacare. Some listeners are wondering, are high deductibles better than high premiums? Who qualifies for a government subsidy? What's better, private plans or public exchanges? That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Seven days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished talking with pro boxer Seth Mitchell about his latest fight against Chris Areola. It took place earlier this month, September 7th to be exact, in which Seth was knocked out in the first round to Chris Areola. Chris Areola now holds the WBC International Heavyweight title. And now Seth just has to rebound. Of course, Seth was also a former MSU linebacker for the MSU football team here at Michigan State. And Seth is just trying to shake it off and move on to the next one. That's all you can do as a boxer. All right. Well, we haven't gotten to our headlines just yet. So let's dive into your current sports headlines for this September 26, 2013. And yes, the Tigers lead today's headlines because the Detroit Tigers have done it. Yes, they have wrapped up their third straight AL Central Division title with a 1-0 win over the Minnesota Twins. Now, the champagne was certainly flowing in the Tigers' locker room. Jim Leland, as always, was very emotional after the win and even busted out the moonwalk. Yes, he busted out Michael Jackson's moonwalk. I kid you not, you got to see that video after Torrey Hunter picked him up mid-interview with Mario and Pemba. And drug him to the celebration. Champagne was everywhere. Cigars were lit. Here's Jim Leland after that win.
Well, Jim, congratulations. That makes three in a row now, Central Division titles. And sum up your emotions, if you can. This is a special ball club that had to grind through another tough season. But as you look back on what you've accomplished now, something that hadn't been accomplished since the early 1900s, three in a row, what does it feel like?
Well, I think we talked in spring training. This was a tough year for the guys because the expectations were so high, and it was almost like we were set up to fail. And, from day one of spring training, I told them, don't get caught up in the expectations. Get caught up in how we're going to live up to those expectations. And I think that's what they've done. And I want to say thank you to our fans. I'm so proud of you, what you've done for our ball club and what you've done for me since I've been here. And I just hope that you feel like you're getting your money's worth. Because we try to entertain you. You keep coming out. I can't tell you what you mean to us. It's like a six man.
You got to love that. I tell you, on the inside, Jim Leland is a big, soft, gushy teddy bear. He may come off with this hard exterior throughout the season as the season goes on. We all know the countless Jim Leland interviews where he gets irritated sometimes with some of the questions. But I tell you what, in moments like these where, the Tigers are having success, they wrap up the AL Central Division, and, emotions are flowing, Jim Leland is not afraid to cry, I tell you. Now, you got to love that. He's one of my favorite sports figures in sports just because, he handles his business, but at the same time, he knows when to let that guard down when it's necessary. So, and last night it certainly was. So after that interview, after he gets done, shedding the tears, Torrey Hunter picked him up, brings him to the celebration. He starts jumping up and down with Torrey and the team, and they douse him with champagne. And then, I kid you not, it's probably my favorite moment of the entire night after watching that celebration. He busts out Michael Jackson's moonwalk, and he did a great job at it, I tell you that. I didn't see his feet. You can only see his upper torso, but it is hilarious. Go check that out. Again, congratulations to Detroit Tigers. Again, their third straight AL Central Division Championship. And they had the T-shirts, the new T-shirts. I got to buy me one of those. They're really, really nice. They say, we own the Central, which they do. Again, three straight. Great stuff. Max Scherzer, he also got his 21st win. Definitely a top candidate for this year's Cy Young Award. Second place, Cleveland. They beat the White Sox, but the Tigers maintain their 4.5 game lead. The Indians control the second AL wild card spot as of now. Now it's on to the postseason, where the Tigers have had some success under Leland, but still fell short of the ultimate goal. The team's first World Series title since 1984. They were American League champions in 2006 and runners-up in 2011. Now, it's still too early to tell which team the Tigers will play in a division series. Also want to note that Leland hopes that Jose Iglesias will play Friday in Miami, where Rick Porcello will pitch against Tom Kohler. And with the Tigers losing their designated hitter for the weekend, Victor Martinez could catch some and give Fielder a few innings off at first base. So, congratulations to the Tigers. Again, your AL Central champs. Again, how far do you think the Tigers will go this season? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Give us your thoughts. Give us a call right now. Yes, I'm talking to you. And give us your thoughts on how far you think the Tigers will end up in this postseason. All right, punter Jake Hart Barger of Anthony Wayne High School in White House, Ohio, announced his commitment to Michigan State via Instagram on Wednesday. He says, quote, "Officially committed to the University of Michigan State on a full scholarship, truly blessed." Now, Hart Barger, the number two ranked punter in the nation by Kohl's Kicking Camps, had been reportedly weighing other scholarship offers from Oklahoma, Iowa State, Miami, and Toledo. Now, Hart Barger is Michigan State's 16th commitment for the 2014 recruiting class thus far, and the fifth from Ohio. And also in that recruiting class, for the MSU basketball team, I should say, for that same year, though, point guard Lou Rawls Narwin Jr., and I am not kidding with that first name. Lou Rawls is his name. That's a great name. Come on, guys. Lou Rawls, you got to be kidding me. Anyway, point guard Lou Rawls Narwin Jr. announced his verbal commitment on Thursday at Sunrise Christian Academy Gym in Bel Air, Kansas, for the MSU basketball team. His other nickname is Tum Tum. Yeah, I love that. Lou Rawls Tum Tum. Oh, man, we're going to have some fun with that. The media around this area is definitely going to have some fun with that as this kid hits the court. But the 5'10", 175-pounder who is ranked by rivals at number 61 and ESPN at number 72 in the 2014 recruiting class, chose Michigan State over Indiana, Minnesota, and Oklahoma. Now, Narwin may not have been Michigan State's first choice, but the Spartans quickly re-entered the picture for the Bahamas native once it became apparent that Tyre Euliss would pick Kentucky earlier this month. All right, and Ndamukong Suh. The Detroit Lions defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh said Wednesday afternoon that he had yet to hear from the NFL regarding his appeal. Now, in a hearing Tuesday, Suh appealed the $100,000 fine levied on him by the league for a low block on Minnesota center John Sullivan in the first week of the season. Now, the fourth-year pro declined to go into specifics of what he discussed with league officials, saying it was his agent, Roosevelt Barnes, and the NFLPA that handled his defense. League sources, however, told ESPN insider Ed Werner that Suh argued his hit was legal and that other players have committed more egregious fouls without being suspended or fined a similar amount. So we'll see how that pans out. Brandon Jennings, he was, if you guys know the rapper The Game, he got into it with the rapper The Game. Now, not to be outdone by Nerd Burleson's Pieces Disaster, new Piston Brandon Jennings reportedly got into an altercation with rapper The Game while celebrating the point guard's birthday at an L.A. nightclub. Now, Jennings was at the club hosting his birthday party with friends, which didn't sit well with the Compton rapper who frequents the establishment. Game feels like Toxic is his, and he didn't like that Jennings was hogging the microphone. He felt he was being disrespected. That's a direct quote from one person who witnessed the altercation. He also goes on to say that Game tried to have words with him, and it just escalated quickly, and Game hit Brandon in the mouth. Jennings reportedly tweeted about the incident today, writing, quote, "Sucker punch when I wasn't looking. P.S. My face is great. Looks the same. See?" And he linked to a picture of his face. But the post has been removed later in the day. So, yeah, come on, guys. Come on, Brandon. Just give the guy the mic. He's The Game. Just let him do his thing, man. You're Brandon Jennings. You haven't won any rings yet? Come on, man. Interesting stuff there. Also, in local high school soccer, Okemos tops EL. Okemos is the 2013 CAAC Blue Boys Soccer Champion after a hard-fought 1-0 win Wednesday night in East Lansing. Soha Mishra scored the only goal, a right-footed blast from the top of the box with 9:40 remaining in a game that often featured more brawn than skill. Now, with the win, the Division I honorable mention Chiefs improve to 9-1-6 overall and 7-0 in the CAAC Blue. The U.S. wins the America's Cup. Interesting sport, to say the least, here in America's yacht racing competition. Skipper Jim Spithill and Oracle Team USA won the America's Cup on Wednesday with one of the greatest, what is being called one of the greatest comebacks in sports history. I kid you not. Spithill steered Oracle Space Age, a 72-foot Catamaran, to its eighth straight victory, speeding past Dean Barker and Emirates Team New Zealand in the winner-take-all race 19 on San Francisco Bay to keep the oldest trophy in international sports in the United States. Now, how big was this win? People are equating this in sailing terms, to overcoming the 8-1 deficit that the Boston Red Sox faced when sweeping the final four games of the 2004 ALCS over the New York Yankees, the only 3-0 comeback in Major League history. It's also comparable to the Philadelphia Flyers overcoming a 0-3 deficit to beat the Boston Bruins in 2010 in the NHL playoffs. So that's how big this win is. This win was not even, USA was not supposed to come home with the trophy, but they did in one unbelievable comeback. And we have a special top five Tuesday next week for you as we list the top five biggest comebacks in sports history. This might be on my list, I tell you. All right, John Jones, UFC lightweight champion, heavyweight champion, excuse me. John Jones has found his next challenger, number one contender Glover Teixeira. Now, the fight will likely take place on Saturday, February 1st in Newark, New Jersey, on the eve of the Super Bowl. Jones, whose 19-1 record includes a UFC lightweight record, 6 title defenses, is fresh off a unanimous decision victory over Alexander Gustafsson, and that fight was unbelievable. If you saw it this past weekend, a true battle. But Jones comes away with the win. It was not an easy one against Alexander Gustafsson. Actually, Jones was so beat up after that fight that he had to go immediately to the ambulance and hit the hospital because he was definitely beat up. But he got out with the win. So again, his next challenger is number one contender Glover Teixeira. We'll see how that pans out for him. All right, Paul Oliver. This is a very, very sad story. Hate telling you guys stuff like this, but former San Diego's Chargers defensive back Paul Oliver died from self-inflicted gunshot wounds on Tuesday night. Now, the news has shocked his former teammates as the former Georgia Bulldog star hadn't shown signs of unhappiness. The Chargers' Eric Weddle recalled Oliver as the happiest guy ever. Just a joy to be around, funny, charismatic, worked his tail off. He goes on and on and on. Former Chargers teammate Quentin Jammer says he was a good friend of mine. Great guy. I mean, the early reports were that he committed suicide, and he just didn't seem like that type of guy. You never know what somebody is going through, what's going on in somebody's life. Oliver is survived by his wife and two children. And also, gloomy news to report, another dark chapter has been added to the Giants-Dodgers rivalry. A large fight that began after a Giants-Dodgers game has resulted in the death of 24-year-old Jonathan Denver, whose father and brother allegedly were wearing Dodgers gear. Now, the groups of men got into a confrontation after the game, and things got physical, resulting in the stabbing. Though Denver was quickly rushed to the hospital, he passed away shortly thereafter. Now, three men have been detained by authorities, this just came through. It's being reported that two individuals have been arrested in this crime. Two individuals have been taken into custody in this crime that has happened at San Francisco Park. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Oliver's family and also those at San Fran Park that have to deal with this just nonsense, to be honest with you. Well, those are your current sports headlines for this September 26, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call right here at Current Sports by dialing 517-355-9527. And in light of the Tigers clinching the AL Central yesterday, we are asking you, just how far do you anticipate the Tigers getting into the playoffs? How far do you think they'll get in the playoffs this season? Give us a call. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into Jim Delaney. That's right, Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney has some interesting comments regarding high school athletes making the jump to the pros. And we're also going to talk about Penn State. We didn't get to this yesterday. Penn State announcing that they're going to be giving back their football scholarship that they originally took away in light of that Jerry Sandusky trial. So don't go anywhere. More Current Sports is coming right back.
On the next Fresh Air, as Breaking Bad nears its conclusion, we bring you a real story about meth. Journalist Jonah Engel talks about his article, Merchants of Meth, How Big Pharma Keeps the Cooks in Business. It's published in Mother Jones. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Boy, lots to talk about here on the show, including the Detroit Tigers, who, again, the Tigers have done it. They have clinched the AL Central with a victory over the Twins last night. It was certainly a celebration, to say the least, folks. Champagne was flowing, cigars were lit, Jim Leland busting out the moonwalk. I still cannot get over that. Jim Leland busted out the moonwalk. That was a highlight of my day yesterday. interesting stuff there. Again, we're sparking our question for the day here on Current Sports, and that question is, how far do you think the Detroit Tigers will get in this year's playoffs? Again, give us a call, 517-355-9527. That's 517 855-9527. And I tell you what, it's great that they finally clinched it. I'm also joined by Matt Lucky right now. Matt, I'm glad that they finally clinched it. And, you know, we can move on now. They can probably rest Cabrera, which he needs. And it's going to be very interesting. I got to ask you, how far do you think these Tigers are going to get this season, man?
You know, I don't know. But now the real work begins because, you know, coming into the year, they were the favorites in the division again. Right. You know, everybody kind of expected this. But now it's getting to the point where if we don't win a World Series, it's, you know, people are going to start losing their patience a little. Yeah, we came in, we expected to win the division. We did. But now, you know, now they got to prove it. And if we play Oakland in round one, I'm a little scared. I guess it depends on the matchups as far as how far they're going to go. But I think they're definitely capable of getting back to the World Series. I mean, even if Cabrera isn't 100%, I mean, they do have a pretty darn good rotation. I mean, Pfister, Scherzer, Verlander, hopefully.
They do. They do.
You know, so it's not just Cabrera, but obviously him being at 100% definitely improves their stock.
Yeah, definitely. And I tell you what, this month alone, they have kind of gone a little bit cold compared to other months. But I tell you what, the starting rotation, the starting pitchers for the Tigers have been great. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Of course, you know, JV has definitely been up and down, to say the least. But overall, I think that the starting pitcher for the Tigers has been pretty solid. If there's anything that I am worried about, I'm worried about cold bats going cold at the wrong time. Like I said, I mean, this month, they compared to the rest of the months in this season so far, they have not been great. And especially, I know a lot of that has to do with, you know, Miggy being hurt. And Miggy accounted for a lot of those hits. Let's be honest here. But overall, they have, compared to, like I said, compared to other months in the season, they have not been, you know, on as far as getting, and I'm talking about situational runs as well. If they got guys on third, they strand a lot of people on base. They've been doing that all season. But that needs to change, I think, if they're going to have a successful postseason. And I think the bullpen is definitely going to have to be better for the Tigers as the season goes on. Starting pitching is great. Bullpen is a little iffy at times. But I think if they get, and like I said, they're not playing, if they play the A's, it's going to be tough. They can't come in. They definitely can't come in with their bats cold against the Oakland A's. I tell you that right now.
Heck no. And, you know, the big thing that we've learned recently in the last few years in baseball is it's all about when you get hot. And teams that get hot at the end of the year, you know, in August and September, typically just roll through the playoffs. I mean, you know, going even back to like 07 with the Rockies making the World Series, coming out of nowhere. They won like 22 out of 23 games down the stretch. It's those kind of teams that just catch fire at the end of the year that do really well in the playoffs, and you can't really say that for the Tigers, title notwithstanding, division title notwithstanding.
Exactly. Like I said, if they don't win a World Series this year, and even if they get there, and still lose, that's going to be a problem because they got there last season. And it's like, come on, you got it. At the end of the day, you got to get the job done. Jim Leland, I think when Jim Leland is done, I'm going to have to say, I think when Jim Leland is done with the Tigers, I think, you know, he will be looked at as the greatest manager in Tigers history, I think. But he needs to win a ring.
He's got to win a ring.
To solidify that. If he doesn't, then there's going to be question marks about it. But I think when you look years down the line, if he gets a ring, Jim Leland will be looked at as the greatest manager ever. And I think,
I mean, three World Series appearances at least, one championship, you know, knock on wood, if they do end up winning.
Right.
Yeah, I think you can definitely make a case. And, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame manager for sure.
Oh,
no doubt.
Without a doubt. That's no question about that. But I'm really we're all going to be glued to our TVs now. I'm just glad that it's over and they clinched it now. Miguel Cabrera, get your rest, man, because they are definitely going to need him again.
Get your rest, and don't go out in Miami.
Right, exactly.
Don't go out, man.
Don't go. Just chill. Just go ahead. Just sip some tea on the sideline. Do whatever.
Don't go out.
Don't go out at all.
Don't take the mic from the game.
Right.
And don't order pizza.
Don't order pizza.
None of those are the three things he cannot do on this trip to Miami.
Don't take the mic from the game. That's a big no-no, man.
Those are just life rules. You never take the mic from the game.
Never do that, man. Just give him the mic. It's the game.
Come on, Brandon Jennings.
And Brandon Jennings of all people. I mean, it's not like you're LeBron James or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. That's a hilarious story. But again, we're sparking the question. How far do you think the Detroit Tigers will get in this year's postseason? 517-355-9527. All right, moving on. Let's get to, I don't know if you saw this, Matt. Jim Delaney's comments. And, you know, they're really sparking up a lot of controversy, to say the least. Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney said Wednesday that Division I football and basketball might be better served by following Major League Baseball's model in that players are allowed to sign professionally right out of high school. He goes on to say, quote, "Maybe in football and basketball it will work better if more kids had a chance to go directly into the professional ranks. If they are not comfortable and want to monetize and let their minor leagues flourish. Now, train at IMG. Get agents to invest in your body. Get agents to invest in your likeness and establish it on your own. But don't come here and say, we want to be paid $25,000 or $50,000. Go to the D-League and get it. Go to the NBA and get it. Go to the NFL and get it. Don't ask us what we've been doing." And he goes on to say, if an athlete wants to professionalize themselves. We've been training kids for professional sports. I argue it's the color. I argue it's the institution. If you think it's about you, then talk to John Havlicek about that. You've got to talk to Michael Jordan about that. These brands have been built over 100 years. He goes on and on and on. His comments came on the same day that the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics and the IA Athletic Directors Association wrapped up their meetings in Dallas. I got to tell you, Matt, when you look at his comments, and I analyze them, and you talk about the point he's trying to make, because, of course, this whole should college athletes be paid debate has been going on for quite some time. And this is what Delaney is addressing here. If you want to be paid as an athlete, then why not give these high school players the option to do so by making the leap from high school to the professional ranks? And I kind of feel where he's coming from on that. You know what I mean? But they don't have the opportunity to do that now because, of course, the NBA, it used to be where you could make that jump. You can't now. You at least have to play 1 year in college now. And in baseball, you have the option, though, to do that right out of high school. If you want to sign with a team and go play minor league somewhere, or if you're good enough professionally, then, hey, you can make that leap as well. I kind of see where he's coming from. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I kind of do, too. And I think he's also just talking about, you know, everyone's saying these colleges take advantage of the kids, and they certainly generate tons of revenue off of these kids. But at the same time, you know, there's not a whole lot of places that you can get better exposure as a football player than Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Not really, you know, it's a pretty short list as places you can go and improve your NFL stock than a high-level Big Ten or NCAA program, you know?
Right.
There's no better tryout for the league than being a star at Alabama. You know, you are basically, you know, I understand that you need money now. Maybe your family situation isn't great and you need financial support. I think that's what he's saying. Like, if you are in that boat, go ahead and go pro. Try and work your way up in the minor leagues. But at the same time, those minor leagues aren't going to get near the exposure that the college game would.
No, not at all. And that's the thing that I believe, you know, the kid has to weigh. You know what I mean?
Right.
Talk to your family.
It's a decision, but I like the initiative to maybe make it the kid's choice.
Yeah,
even though
yeah,
when
I agree.
It was before, we saw countless cases of, you know, kids jumping from the high school ranks to the NBA and it not working out.
Exactly.
You know, 'cause for every LeBron James, there's 10 guys who you've never heard of.
Right. I think from, you know, looking at from a commissioner, if you're the commissioner of the NBA, like a David Stern, that type of guy, with the view that they're looking at this as, if a kid does make that jump from high school to the NBA and doesn't pan out, we've seen it happen numerous times. I believe Sebastian Telfair, that's the biggest name that comes out when I look at it.
Kwame Brown is
up there. That is true. But when you look at guys like that and they come to the NBA and they're just bust, David Stern is afraid that they'll kind of dwindle down the brand of basketball and make the competition nothing, you know,
right,
to be honest. But at the same time, if these college kids are complaining about not getting paid in athletics, and you know that, like, you know, you had Jalen Rose, you know, the other day talking to CMU about how he needs to pay his beeper bill and how he's driving a whack car. You know, he wishes he had a bigger car, blah, blah, blah. I can go on and on about that. But, you know, if you have these college players complaining about that, then why not give them the option to, it's their life, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's their life. Let them choose if they want to make that leap and possibly risk their career and make that move professionally. I don't see why not give them the option of doing that. Then they won't. I think all these cries that you hear from college athletes complaining that, hey, I'm not getting paid, I think you will start to see that it won't be eliminated, but it'll start to dwindle down a little bit because they have freedom, you know, to do what they want to do.
Right. And, you know, kids now, I guess if you're playing basketball, you can go to Europe. I mean, Brandon Jennings, we were just talking about him, he went to Europe for a year, played in Italy, didn't do great, but he was still a lottery pick in the draft, so it didn't hurt his stock too much. But, you know, he certainly would have been more in the know had he gone to Arizona instead of going to play in Italy.
Right.
You know, there's a big difference there. But as far as football is concerned, I don't know if an 18-year-old would be physically ready for that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like I said, if they want to try it, you know, go right ahead.
It's their prerogative.
Yeah, we had Tico Duckett, you know, here on the show yesterday, and something that really stood out about that interview with Tico was that he was talking about, you know, how he was in high school and, you know, and even in college, you know, especially him being a running back, the beating that, you know, the vision that a running back takes. I mean, you have to be solid. You have to be the reason why, you know, he believes his career didn't last long at the NFL level was because he believes he wasn't big enough, you know what I mean? And, you know, to the point you get to where you lift weights to the point of where, as Tico said, your body becomes numb and you're just so huge that a hit, one hit or two hits, three hits as you go on, that it really doesn't do much to you.
Right.
That's the point you have to get to. And an 18-year-old kid is definitely not at that level.
Right.
At all. So, but like I said, it's their prerogative. They want to go out there and risk that. You know, give them the option of doing so. We live in America. They should have the choice to do that. Will it change in the future? I don't know. I think that it's if any, because basketball has definitely experienced that. We saw that with LeBron James, who's going on to become now the best player in the world. Will it change? I think in basketball, I think it eventually will go back to that, where you can a high school kid has the option of coming out of high school and making that leap, you know, from high school to the NBA. Basketball is a different sport. You don't have that wear and tear on your body, so to speak, as you do with football.
Right.
What happened in football ever? I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't know either. I don't think so. And maybe if the NFL got a minor league system up and running.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've seen, like, lesser football leagues try and crop up here or there, and it seems like they last maybe three seasons, and then they're done. They fold. So I don't know how you would even put that kind of structure in place. So I think maybe football players are at a little bit of a disadvantage as far as jumping straight to the pros. But it's probably for the best.
And
to the Jalen Rose comments about maybe having a better car, isn't having a crummy car part of college?
It's a part of it. I had a 99 Buick Century.
You don't
custom.
Need an Escalade in college, man.
Thank you. I mean, that entire Jalen Rose speech that he gave those kids at CMU just rubbed me the wrong way. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, that's probably like I had a 99 Buick.
That's the experience. Like, you're not supposed to have, like...
Right. You're not supposed to be having a Lamborghini sitting on dubs or something like that rolling around campus.
You know what I mean? Can go to your, you know, one-room apartment and, you know, it's like, come on.
Wake up.
Where's the disconnect there? You're not...
I don't get that. That's Jalen Rose for you. again, if you have any comments on this, 517-355-9527. Really quickly, Matt, I want to get into Penn State. We didn't get to talk about the Penn State story that much yesterday. College Sports' governing body announced Tuesday that it will be gradually restoring 20 football scholarships, saying that the school has already made significant improvements to athletics programs. And that's talking about Penn State. Five scholarships will be restored next year, and 15 more will be phased in until the school reaches the limit of 85 in the year 2016-17, a season earlier than the school had agreed to. That's according to the NCAA. Now, the NCAA said the unanimous decision by its executive committee was based on the recommendation of former U.S. Senator George Mitchell, who has been serving as Penn State's athletics integrity monitor. Now, the penalties came amid heavy criticism of university leaders' response to complaints about Jerry Sandusky. Penn State and NCAA agreed to the penalties by entering into a consent decree more than a year ago, shortly after Sandusky was convicted of 45 counts of sexual abuse. And, Matt, I got to say, I think the NCAA got it right here. And I thought when I first heard about the punishment for Penn State, in light of this whole Jerry Sandusky molestation trial, and they decided to take away football scholarships from the football program, I'm sitting there saying, why? These kids had the kids playing for that football team had nothing to do with what this sick man was doing to local kids in the area who came up for a Penn State football camp. Those players had nothing to do with that, so why are you punishing the kids?
Right.
And, you know, and with that, I think it definitely hurt the football program because now, I mean, who wants to go to a school who can't offer me a scholarship to play the sport that I'm trying to go to the NFL in? You know
right.
what I mean? And I thought that the NCAA realized that, hey, when they look back at it, we got it wrong. And you rarely see the NCAA do this. Say, hey, we screwed up. Let's correct it.
Right.
And they're doing it in this case.
Right. Now, there's no mention in there of lifting the bowl ban, is there? Or the postseason ban?
No, this is just scholarships.
So they still have that. So basically right. what I'm gathering from it is that they knew, you know, the four-year bowl ban, or postseason ban rather, that's going to hurt the program for sure, but it's only going to hurt the program for 4 years. When you reduce the scholarships, then the punishment kind of extends even further than that because you don't have depth on your roster. You don't have, you know, kids
right, who
coming
wants to
up.
Come? Yeah.
Right. So, you know, then it gets into like maybe Penn State's going to be in a down year for closer to a decade, you know, and
right.
that's a big difference when you don't have kids on the team because you don't have enough scholarships.
Right.
So I think they just kind of said, you know, they definitely punished them when the iron was still hot. That was sure. It was a bit of a snap judgment.
Right.
And like you said, punishing the kids who are there now, not totally fair. Not fair at all, really.
Not at all.
I mean, you know, they didn't really do anything. They just wanted to play for Penn State or went to play for Penn State. So I think lessening the punishment is a good thing. I mean, the legacy of Paterno and Sandusky certainly is tarnished, and that era of Penn State football definitely has a bit of a stigma to it now.
And I think the whole postseason ban is ridiculous, too, to be honest.
Really? So
anything
think,
that has to do with football.
Right.
In the ban that they put on that team, as far as the scholarships go, the postseason ban, I thought it was absolutely ridiculous because you're talking about one man here.
But
you know what I mean?
But maybe you
I
aren't.
Don't get
because
that.
Maybe I think now, that had more to do with the athletic department and the administration
maybe
covering
granted
it
so,
up.
Probably
and then
Joe
I
Pye,
feel like
you know?
Maybe that is a worthy punishment to kind of, you know,
right.
knock
that's
that
debatable.
Program down. Totally debatable because you can definitely make a point that, you know, the people there now don't have anything to do with it. But at the same time, if the administrators knew what was going on, and that was the big crux of the argument back
then
how could they cover that up? That's like the biggest atrocity probably in sports history right there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's one of those things. And I tell you what, though, Bill O'Brien has done a remarkable job to say, you know, for what he has done with the team that he's had these past few seasons, I especially last season, I thought he has done an exceptional job trying to rebuild this program. And it's so weird now, you know, watching the Penn State game and looking to the sidelines and not seeing Paterno over there because, you know, growing up I was so used to seeing him on the sidelines. He was such an influential figure in the world of college football. And now seeing Bill O'Brien at the helm, but, you know, that's another story. But I tell you what, Bill O'Brien is definitely doing a great job with that program right now to try and turn things around. And I think it's a step in the right direction.
For sure.
And I think the NCAA, you know, made the right decision in restoring these scholarships, at least for the time being. So, definitely interesting stuff. All right, well, it's Thursday, so of course, you know, that is Throwback Thursday as we list some of the more interesting stories that took place on this Thursday, September 26, 2013. Matt, what you got for us?
Okay, let's start out. Let's go way back to 1919. I'm going to ask you a question after this one. All right.
Okay.
So the St. Louis Browns defeated the New York Yankees 6-2 in a game that lasted 55 minutes.
55 minutes?
Less than an
That's
hour.
It?
How much would you pay for a ticket to a 55-minute baseball game?
Let's go with $0.
$0?
Zero. I would not pay to watch that. 55 minutes baseball?
55 minutes. Blink and you miss it.
Oh, no.
It was the second game of a doubleheader, though. But still, that's crazy.
That is crazy. What was the score?
6-2.
6-2, and it was still
yeah, so it's
it
not
was
like,
scoring.
Yeah, it's not like it was just a pitcher's duel and they just, you know, blew through 1-0. No.
There were no breaks 6-2, in that game at the mound.
Yeah. Well, you know, now you really see the power of commercials.
Oh, yes, you do. You know, that is very, very true.
That broadcast would have been,
yeah.
Oh, man, Fox or whoever would have been pretty ticked.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
55-minute baseball
Not
game.
Paying any bills on that game.
No, none whatsoever. All right. 1962, Maury Willis of the L.A. Dodgers became the first player to steal 100 bases.
Okay.
He finished with 104. 1981, what would a Throwback Thursday be without a Nolan Ryan stat?
Another Nolan Ryan stat on, wow,
it's
he just
ridiculous.
Loved Thursday.
It is ridiculous. He had
wow.
some foresight to plan all of his milestones on Thursday. Nolan Ryan became the first pitcher, or the first player to pitch five no-hitters with a 5-0 victory over the Dodgers.
Wow.
1983, the Australia 2 won the America's Cup. It was the first time in 132 years that a U.S. yacht lost the cup. 1998, Mark McGwire hit home runs 67 and 68.
Wow.
Asterisk.
Behind that
there
one.
There you go. 1998, Dennis Eckersley of the Boston Red Sox appeared in his 1,071st game, which is an MLB record.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Oh, my goodness.
Let's see. Roger Maris hit his 60th home run to tie Babe Ruth's single-season record in 1961. The historic blast was off Baltimore's Jack Fisher. And let's see. A couple more here. Mm-hmm. Ken Irvin of Memphis became the first player in college football to brace yourself, Al.
Okay, I'm ready.
He blocked four punts in one game.
No, that's not humanly possible. That team must have been terrible.
Like, did he line up in the offensive backfield at the
exactly.
start of the snap? Like,
just turns around and
how
blocks
do you
it.
Do that?
Four blocked punts.
Four blocked punts in one game.
What year was this?
1992.
1992 this happened? Wow. That's mind-boggling.
It right really there. Is. I don't, you know, oh it's rare that you see even one.
Was he the punter? He just, that's crazy to me. Oh, my goodness. Okay, wow.
Words can't explain. All yeah. right, let's see. 1998, Prairie View A&M ends its NCAA record 80-game losing streak with a bold 2-point conversion in the final minute for a 14-12 victory over Langston.
Wow. Okay, what year was that?
1998. And that's really all I've got. Although, yeah. actually, in 2011, the New Jersey Nets decided they're going to move to Brooklyn.
Okay.
So that was the
that
origin.
Was a big that
you
was
know,
a big
back
thing
in
right
2011.
There.
That was big news, and now they are the Brooklyn Nets.
They
so
are the
go.
Brooklyn Nets. You know, shout out to Jay-Z.
Right.
Brooklyn all day.
The original 1% owner of a sports franchise who gets all the credit for owning it.
Right, I know, right? It's like these, you know, like Shaq right now.
Seriously.
It's definitely a publicity move. Shaq
oh,
owns
yeah.
1-4% of the team, and he's, you know, you would think he's the guy. You know what
right.
I mean? Crazy stuff. Interesting stuff there. Also, 1994, the double murder trial for O.J. Simpson began
oh, right.
with jury selection in Los Angeles. So, interesting stuff there. You know what? You know, Matt, when I woke up and started reading today's headlines to see what I wanted to talk about. And I've never heard of the America's Cup before today. Have you heard of the America's
You've
Cup?
You've never heard of the
I've
America's
never,
Cup?
That's is that bad that I've never heard of the America's Cup? That's pretty bad.
I don't know if it's terrible.
I don't know. But
it's a niche
race
sport
sailing,
anyway.
Yachts?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I don't know how it works.
I don't either. You just race the yacht and whoever wins? Is it a one-day thing? I have no idea. But congrats.
You're asking the wrong guy. Not a yeah. sailor. No
Not
idea.
Not a sailor at all. I had no idea. I have no idea what the American – when I first heard it, I'm like, what is this? Like, this can't be golf because, you know, Tiger's
right.
not in that. You know what I mean? Or no one, the golfer's playing right now. This can't be – I thought it was soccer. That's what I thought it was. The America's Cup, I'm like, okay, the U.S. wins another one. Maybe I missed it. But no, it's a yacht. They're sailing.
That's sailing.
And they said, like I said, I ran those statistics earlier in the headlines. They compare that win to like coming back from three down in the NBA Finals or something like that, or you know, in the MLB, you know, World Series,
right.
just down three games and you rally. I mean, it's that big of a comeback. And we're going to have an interesting segment next week as we list on our Top 5 Tuesdays the top five biggest comebacks in sports history. This might be on my list.
Ooh, that's a good one.
This is a very interesting it's a very interesting topic, to tell you the least. But, congrats to America for coming back. Thrilling win there. Again, I want to remind you all that tonight, Current Sports TV airs at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. I sat down with Coach Al Slammer of the Holt High School football Rams. He was such a nice guy. They even surprised me on set with a Holt Ram t-shirt and hat. It's about three sizes too big, but it's hanging up in my office. Thanks so much, guys, for that. They were a great group of a great group to have during that episode. The entire football team was there. They were pretty rowdy. Again, you can catch that episode tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. You do not want to miss that. Well, tomorrow If you missed that episode tonight, we'll play a little bit of that for you tomorrow. My sit down with Al Slammer again, and it's also Reflection Friday. We got a big week next week. I just got confirmation that Lisa Byington, play-by-play announcer for the Chicago Sky, we had the WNBA popularity conversation yesterday. She's going to give us some hands-on opinion on that one on Monday, so don't want to miss that. And she has some pretty strong feelings towards it because, you know, she played basketball in college. She's an announcer now for the WNBA. She's going to give us some insight on that. So, all right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to professional heavyweight boxer and former MSU football player Seth Mitchell for joining me. Again, don't miss Current Sports TV tonight. Hold football coach Al Slammer, 10 p.m. WKAR-TV. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.